So,
yeah.
I did not. Did we? I mean, my brain is fading.
What
of
do
course.
You need?
Did we cover this on air that he's a. We did cover this on air. Okay. We did.
Ooh, yeah, who's what?
That Matty Barrows enjoys the Scottish bard himself, Rod Stewart.
Well, I always knew Matty Barrows was cool. That just makes him even cooler now.
Hey, Matty, may you be forever young, my friend.
Yeah, young Turks be free tonight, Matty.
Yeah, young hearts. Yeah, Murph, we talked about this on draft day.
Yeah, I do. It's ringing a bell now.
Okay.
It's ringing a
coming
bell.
Coming back.
Yeah. Yeah, how did we get on that, by the way?
I don't know. I think Paulie was off that day, though.
Right.
Because he would have remembered.
I would have, and I don't remember that, so I think you're right. I think I had
have
the day
Have you
off.
Ever seen, did we cover if you've seen him live?
Never seen him live, no.
Yeah, man.
I wish.
He's a heck of a...
I'll back him. Got a hell of a catalog,
oh,
Rod
yeah.
Stewart.
Yeah, been doing it for many
shout
years.
Out,
including his gray-haired version of the standards. Like, you know what I mean?
Did yeah,
the,
he's
like,
a crooner now.
Yeah, crooner.
He goes out to Vegas and croons.
Yeah.
Also, shout out to his real rock and roll stuff with the faces.
Yeah.
Like Stay With Me and all that hot
Absolutely.
Legs.
Well,
that stuff rocks.
The Nike used a very poignant ad when right after Tiger's dad died, a Father's Day ad with the father. What's the song?
Forever Young? I'm going to
no,
guess.
No, not Forever Young. It's the. It's from the Faces. It's, you know, if I knew, wish.
Oh,
that
yeah.
I knew that. I
what I didn't know now. But yeah, nice one. Nice song.
Yeah. Ooh la la.
Murph's on fire.
That's it.
You got
there
it.
There we go. There
Very
we
good.
Go. All right, Matty, we successfully killed 2 minutes
okay.
not talking about Garoppolo. All right, so.
Yeah. Maybe the best 2 minutes we're
okay,
going to do.
Here's my question to you, and I'm just kind of coming firm in this take, although some listeners disagree on the text line. I think this is the worst he's ever been. Do you think that was the worst game he's ever had, or am I forgetting one?
Well, I thought that the Indy game, the rain game last year was pretty bad. I thought that was his worst one of the season. It had the mitigating feature of it being a monsoon out there. So, maybe the best, maybe the worst good weather game that he's played so far. It was bad. I mean, I forget what his passer rating from last night was. I think it's like 81.2, which is an okay passer rating. But boy, it does not tell the whole story because you know, he got away with the pick in the end zone because he stepped out of the back of the end zone for the safety. He got away with a pick on his first third down throw. DJ Jones bats down a throw. If he doesn't bat down that throw, the Broncos safety has an easy interception. Threw into coverage quite a bit. There were five either tipped or batted passes by the Broncos. So just was out of sync. I mean, making the wrong decision time and time again.
So, you know, I don't know if these things even matter. It's like war in baseball. Like, what the hell is war? But they do something called a passer rating. Then they do something called the QBR, the QB rating, right?
Yeah.
Some people think one is more true than the other. I don't know if, do you have an opinion on that? Because the reason why I say this is because while you are correct, his rating was better than Wilson's 81-75. His QBR was a paltry 14.2. So I'm just, whatever it is, it's a better judge of that game because 14 is brutal. Russell's was 32.9. So do you know anything about those differences?
Well, I mean, I have a study. I'm not the numbers guy. I mean, I think that passer rating by and large is a really, really good, simple rating system, but you're absolutely right. Last night's, it did not tell the full story at all. And it was about decision making, really, you know, and it was about third downs, and that's the money down. I mean, that's how you get into a rhythm, is that you hit those third down throws, and then a short drive becomes a long drive, and everybody's feeling great. And they just did not hit those time and time again. There were misses, either missing a wide open guy or throwing behind a receiver or throwing into coverage, and that was a theme of the night.
So, I mean, you know, if you want to be extremely generous to him after losing an 11-10 game on the road, you say, well, it might make sense that he didn't have a summer training camp and he didn't have an OTA and he only had 1 week of practice and he's going to be rusty. But the counter to that is he's been with this team for 6 years now. And so what the heck are we talking about rust and decision making? He should know what to do. Where do you come down on the generous excuse making versus the NFL's exacting demands.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's odd because he came in. He should have been rusty last week. I mean, if that was going to be a theme. But he came in the first quarter without warming up, without doing anything, and he was really good. And he was in sync. And the storyline was, wow, it's as if Garoppolo had never left. It was as if he was there throughout May and June and July and all of the preseason. And yet, this is the weird thing, and no one has quite figured it out. But after that game, the Seahawks game, Garoppolo was beaming, and he said, yeah, it was like 2017 when I first got here. Yeah. And, you know, we were playing on instincts, and it was fun, and I was having a great time out there. And all that rhythm stuff that was so lacking last night was there in droves. It was natural. It was instinctive. And then he's got the full week to train with his guys, to learn the play, the game plan for the Broncos game. And it comes out disjointed. So there's this real weird irony here that the more this guy practices, the more ensconced he becomes in the Shanahan offense, the more he struggles. And that's not always the case. I mean, he had his best season 2019 when he really knew this offense and obviously was the starter for the full season. But it's just been odd, sort of an odd disconnect between QB and play caller Kyle Shanahan these last 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, okay. And then we get into Kyle. A lot of people saying, hey, man, I'm happy to bury Jimmy, but I'm also happy to bury Kyle, too. Couple of decisions. One, turning down that holding penalty and allowing for the field goal. Now, we don't know what would have happened on 3rd and 19, but the way their defense is playing, it sure seemed to be, you know, going good. And then the other very obvious one that people are looking at is the didn't run down 11-10, 4 minutes to go. They didn't run the ball once, you know, and it seems to be a common theme that people think he gets away from the run in panic situations. Do you buy either of those?
Yeah, I mean, that second one. I mean, I would have gone with the field goal, too. I mean, I this is a team that's been bludgeoned by Russell Wilson so many times. You didn't want to see it happen then. And for Denver to get that spark, which they eventually did get in the fourth quarter, Wilson looked exactly like Russell Wilson on that one TD drive, but you didn't want to give him the chance to do that earlier. So that's how I took it. I know a lot of people took the opposite tack. They were whooping up on him at that point. Why not continue to do that and not give them those 3 points? I should point out that the field goal kicker also missed a long field goal later in the game, so that was an option as well. But yeah, I mean, it was a weird running game. This is starting to become a theme for the 49ers in that a few years ago, there were very few teams that ran their offense. So that when the 49ers faced a team, that team had, you know, 3 days to prepare for this this zone rushing, this wide zone, all that stuff. You know, 3 days was not enough to prepare. Now you have, you know, a good almost 10 teams basically running this system. So it's not as rare as it used to be. The Broncos run it. So the Broncos defense, having played it in, you know, May through August, is familiar with it. And I thought that they just did a fantastic job, especially taking away the outside stuff, the gouging plays that the 49ers lean on a lot of times. There were some nice plays in the middle of the field, in the middle of the line, but anything to the outside, whether it was Jeff Wilson, whether it was Deebo Samuel, it just wasn't there. So I can only assume that Shanahan just didn't see that running game functioning like it normally does, and that's why he abandoned it.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Man, alarming on many levels. Talking to Matt Barrows of The Athletic, 49ers lose to the Broncos 11-10 in what is almost just objectively and subjectively Jimmy Garoppolo's worst game. The defense, however, Maddie, is unbelievable. Like I almost feel like if people are despairing about the 49ers right now.
9-3 and out. I mean,
they can't despair because it seems like the defense will give them a chance in any game to win. Like, they'll go into every game with a chance to win because of the defense.
They might need that.
Yeah, 10 punts. I mean, you don't see that very often. And this was a game that Eric Armstead, their second best defensive lineman, didn't play in. So that was a big storyline going into it. I felt like his replacements really stepped up. Kevin Gibbons had a sack. Javon Kinlaw played well by and large. Kerry Hyder had a nice game. He had a sack. He had a tip pass. So they were delivering in that 49ers kind of system of just bringing in one wave of defensive linemen after another. It really paid off, I thought, in Denver because that was a lot of snaps last night. In that altitude, I think that type of system where you're giving the Nick Boses tons of breaks and whatnot was really beneficial. And it looked for all the world as if that unit was really going to pull off this win. It was going to be a really ugly score, but they were going to come away with the victory. And it was just one drive where Russell Wilson became Russell Wilson. Pressured, but was able to step out of the pressure, step up kind of through the defensive line and make plays, and that's all it took.
Yeah, we're talking to Matty Barrows of The Athletic here, and we haven't even talked about the play, the safety. Matt, that's just like you want to – every instinct, every homing instinct in his brain should have told him that he knew where he was, and he
can't have that. Yeah, you really can't.
But as we pointed out, Niners are lucky he stepped out because otherwise it would have been a pick six. And then, of course, Trent Williams goes down, which is the other part of it. I mean, maybe the worst play in recent 49er history.
Every possible option sucked. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we call a cluster something.
Right, cluster blank. Yeah.
A cluster gathering, yes.
I thought it was interesting that Shanahan took full blame for it. A week after he was defending all of the running plays that ended up injuring Trey Lance, and this one, Shanahan said, that one was on me. We left an open rusher. That was a bad place to do it. The open rusher was on Garoppolo's far right, and he did start applying pressure, but the real pressure was applied by Mike Purcell, a former 49er who just beat Spencer Burford right off the line, and he's the one who caused Jimmy Garoppolo to drift back, but it was only second down. So I agree with you guys. I mean, you have to have that instinct as a quarterback to, A, know where the end line is, and to, B, throw the ball away. Just whip it out of bounds. I mean, that's an option on second down.
yes.
I thought that the more egregious mistake was letting go of that ball off your back foot.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been, should have been a pick six. I mean, it was basically a jump ball for Jeff Wilson, who's might be 6 feet, 6'1", against Bradley Chubb, who might be 6'4", 6'5". I think I know who's going to win that jump ball. And Chubb did, and would have scored a touchdown had it not been kind of rubbed out by the safety. So, that was the theme of the game. Just bad decisions by the quarterback on big plays. So he was saved there. He was saved by the, like I said earlier, that DJ Jones tip. If those two count as interceptions, it's not an 81.2 pass rate. It's one that's going to be, in the 40s, which was probably more appropriate for this game.
Don't forget the QBR 14, Maddie. Come on now.
There you go. I should go with QBR for this one, for sure.
Whichever one fits the narrative. Come on. and then here we go with the other part of the play was the Trent Williams injury, which led to Jalen Moore, ? And then led quickly to Colton McKivitz.
Yep.
And now, I mean, Ian Rappaport was on earlier. He had kind of the same stuff as you guys, though. High ankle sprain, which means, we're looking possibly IRR. Could be 4 weeks. Here comes the Rams defense, which just held the Kyler Murray and the Cardinals out of the end zone. And would it be McKivitz and McGlinchey then? Is that your thought going into this game?
Yeah, that is my thought. I mean, Mikivic, the reason why they didn't go to Mikivic initially is because Mikivic sprained his ankle, I think, during the Wednesday practice of last week. So Jalen Moore ended up getting all the reps. That's how the 49ers do it. If the guy gets the reps, he plays. And so Moore came in and then got a quick hook after allowing two big, really big quarterback hits on the two series that he played. So Mikivic came in, and actually Mikivic played pretty well. So I would imagine if he's healthy, he's the left tackle. And that was the scenario in Week 18 last year. Remember, Trent Williams was dealing with an elbow injury. He went out before that game, tried to test it out. It didn't work, and Mikivic went into that game. And he was one of these kind of substitutes that really stepped up in that Week 18 game against the Rams, and they ended up winning it, of course, and going into the playoffs. I mean, one of the storylines this week is that the 49ers tend to do well against the Rams, and not only that, they tend to kind of get back on track with some big wins against the Rams. So they could absolutely use that. I think there's going to be a lot of substitutes in this game, including a big one at left tackle, and the 49ers need to circle the wagons and get back on track and against a very familiar foe to do that.
Yeah, here it is again. I mean, the Rams have lost three straight at Levi's, so all right, you know, here we go. And then last one's like Vic. First of all, I was surprised to see Vic Fangio crop up on my NBC Sports postgame with Dave Feldman. I didn't think he was much of a media guy. But he also gave way too rational of a take,
which
to,
was
to last in this business, Matt.
What did he say?
He said, well, the 49ers have injured running backs right now. And he said, and Garoppolo has just come back after having all summer off. So the team is in transition mode right now in the early season. They'll be there at the end.
Yeah, but Matty, what does Fangio know that all the Twitter fans don't? You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah, what does that guy know?
What's he ever done? Right, right.
Well, first of all, Vic Fangio is not coaching this year, so it sounds like he's just bored out of his mind.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he shows up at 49ers practices every now and then, and everyone's like, "What are you doing here? Are you, are you being paid a consultant's fee?" Yeah. He's just hanging around. This is a guy that's worked all of his life, and all of a sudden, he doesn't have a job this year. So he's looking for what to do. And the second part of it is he's absolutely right, and it's a lot like last year. Remember, this team went through a four-game losing streak. Yeah. And I thought the biggest reason for that losing streak was that they got hit really hard at running back. And so this kind of foundational element of your offense suddenly is missing. So once they were able to sort of figure that out, once they were able to start leaning heavily on Elijah Mitchell, that's when things, started to look good. Remember that win against the Rams I was talking about? That was the game that they ran 44 times and just kind of ran the Rams out of the building. So that's what they did last week against the Seahawks. That's what there was some sporadic success with the running game. But like I said, the Broncos played it really, really well. You have to give credit to them. The 49ers are missing an explosive element right now from that position. And Jeff Wilson's good. He's not as good as Elijah Mitchell. He's not as explosive as Raheem Mostert. That's something that the 49ers have had real trouble sort of duplicating or kind of keeping going. Every season that Shanahan's been here, and it's creeping up again right now.
Man, oh man, Matty, it was unexpected turn of events on Sunday, and plus a safety when Jimmy backed out of the end zone.
Ouch, baby.
That will live. And by the way, Dan Orlovsky goes on Twitter and he writes, "Freedom, I'm off the hook," which is funny and all that. I get it. But if you really look at his play, his was extra special. He kept rolling out. He's looking downfield.
He was still looking downfield, too, 5 yards out of bounds. He's like, "I'm going to find somebody."
I was like, "You're not that off the hook, buddy."
Yeah, he says freedom, but all it does is refocus attention on just how bad it was. But you're absolutely right. I mean, if the 49ers don't pull this together, that's going to be the image of this season.
Oh.
It's going to be an image no matter what.
Bad image.
Even if they come back, it'll be okay. They went from this low point you know, cue to shot of Jimmy Garoppolo slowly backing out of the end zone to success. So, boy, I think that's going to be a play that we're going to see over and over again throughout the season.
Well, it'll be a meme. It's going to be a GIF you send it to.
It'll be a meme. Here you go.
How's your day going with a little GIF of Jimmy backing out of the end zone? Hang in there, baby. Or something like feeling the Mondays or something like that with Jimmy backing up. All right, Maddie. Good stuff, man.
Always a pleasure, Maddie.
We'll continue to do so. Thanks, bud.
All right, anytime, guys. Talk to you soon.
The great Matt Barrows.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.